Hey everybody, this is B. Jermaine, aka The Terrible Australian, and welcome to my ninth edition of my 2017 MIF audio reviews. For this one, I will be reviewing director Takashi Miike's latest film, Blade of the Immortal, and as well as the documentary on Australian artist Anthony Lister. Have you seen The Listers? So let's get right into it. And first up, of course, is Blade of the Immortal. And the plot summary for this film, which I'm reading off the MIF program guide, is as follows. Manji, Japanese screen and music superstar Takuya Mamura, is a samurai who has been cursed with immortality. No matter what violence is meted out onto his body, being skewed by swords, limbs being lopped off, the magic of his curse will eventually re-knit him back together, making him a fearsome, unstoppable opponent. Recruited by Rin, a young girl seeking revenge against a renegade band of swordsmen who tore apart her family and employ a free-for-all style of fighting, Manji must seek out and defeat an endless stream of villains. Now, Takashi Miike is a director who, anytime his films are is announced at MIF, I definitely have to go see it, because I know for a fact, regardless on what type of film he makes, whether it's one of his horror works or his action films or more of his, I guess, his more serious films, there's definitely, you know for a fact you're going to get something out of it, and Blade of the Immortal is no different. It is an absolute ball of a film. I had a really great time watching it, and for those out there who when I read out the plot that it sounds vaguely familiar, is Blade of the Immortal is actually based on a manga series, and I actually didn't realize that until just after watching the film, and now when I sort of look back on the film, it totally makes sense, because the film does have a very manga feel to it, and that's one of the things I just really like about the film a lot. I mean, it's a really well-crafted film that I just found both completely engaging, but it's also a lot of fun as well. That, to me, is just as good as his previous samurai films that he made in the past, like 13 Assassins or Harakiri, Death of a Samurai. I'd say this one's definitely more in the vein of 13 Assassins, but I would say in terms of its tone, it definitely has a much more sort of comic book vibe. And I guess that's kind of the manga influence of that the film is based on. And I just really like this film a lot. Like I said, it has some really superb action set pieces. Like I would say even the sort of samurai sword sequences in this film are probably just as good, if not cases better, than 13 Assassins. I mean, 13 Assassins had some really great sort of fight sequences and battles, but Blade of the Immortal, I think, in a lot of ways, takes it to the next level, because basically the character of Manji, you just have this one character who goes up against armies of henchmen and bad guys, and just seeing him taking all of them out is just a sight to behold. And of course, being a Takashi Miike film, he doesn't skimp out on the violence and gore as well. Like, there is blood, there's limbs flying all over the place, and there's a lot of great gore gags as well, and the film does have a great sense of humor about itself as well, which I really liked. And of course, it has some really strong performances from its cast as well. And I guess another thing, most of you are probably wondering, like, how does a film like this, where a character who is immortal, who can't die, and who pretty much, like, anytime he gets badly injured, he can easily heal right away, like Wolverine, like in the X-Men films, like, where's the suspense in that? Where's the drama? What I found really clever about the film is that it actually finds a way to actually, despite the character Manji being an immortal, they actually found a way to find some intensity to the character. Like, even though, yes, he's an immortal, we do have a sense of, we do feel for the character, because there are times when he's in actual danger and something could happen to him. And I can't explain why that is, because that would go in the spoiler territory, but the film actually finds a really clever way of figuring out that problem in a way that it leaves us, as the film goes on and we see Manji go in these battle sequences, we feel a lot of suspense and danger for him as a character. And yeah, I mean, overall, like, Blade of the Immortal, like, I guess the only criticisms I have of the film, and this is kind of one, I guess, a lot could be a criticism of some of Miike's previous films, is that I do feel like it was a tad too long, because the film's almost 2.5 hours, and I feel like it probably would have been better if it was maybe a couple minutes shorter, because there were little moments here and there where the film did tend to drag, and there were moments where it did feel like it was just being repetitive in turn, because it's basically just, you know, Manji going around, coming across a bad guy, killing him, coming across another bad guy, and so on and so forth. But overall, though, Blade of the Immortal is still a lot of fun. I definitely recommend everyone to check it out, especially if you're a fan of Takashi Miike's work. You'll definitely have an absolute ball with this one. It's a complete ride, and probably one of the perfect films to have in the night shift section of MIFF this year. So if I had to give Blade of the Immortal a rating, I give it 4 out of 5. It is a lot of fun. Now, moving right along, of course, to the Australian documentary, Have You Seen the Listers? And the plot summary for this film is, which I'm reading off the MIFF program guide, is as follows. In 1999, Brisbane City Council encouraged a then 19-year-old Anthony Lister to paint dozens of the city's traffic signal boxes with his eye-catching freestyle explosions of colour and personality. In 2014, the same council took Lister, by now earning tens of thousands per piece and hanging in the National Gallery of Australia, to court on graffiti-related charges. Between these two poles, the personal life of the so-called adventurer painter was equally brought up and down, as he married his high school sweetheart, had three children, battled drugs and the authorities, and eventually watched his wife walk away, and it's now all shown in this candid documentary helmed by Aldous Mayhem director Eddie Martin. Now, I have to admit, Have You Seen the Listers was a very last-minute addition to my MIFF viewing list this year. I read it, and it did sound interesting, but it wasn't really a priority for me. But when I look back on the film again, like its synopsis, I didn't realize until just before I posted my my MIFF preview article on the Super Network that it was actually directed by Eddie Martin, whose film Aldous Mayhem, which came out a couple years ago, I absolutely loved, and it was actually one of my favorite films from that year. And even though it didn't make my top 10 of that year when it was released, it was just outside of it in my honorable mentions department, like very close to making my top 10. So just the fact this film was directed by him, definitely I was very curious to check it out then. So I got rid of the film that was playing that night, and I ended up picking this one instead. So I guess now you're wondering, did that pay off? And I would say it did. Like I really found this a really engaging and really interesting documentary in a lot of ways. I have to admit, I didn't really know much about artist Anthony Lister prior to this documentary. But watching the film, I learned quite a lot about who he is as both as an artist and as a person. And his artwork in the film, both the stuff where it's outside on the streets, on buildings, or single boxes, or on canvases, it's just brilliant stuff. It's amazing artwork, and he truly is a really talented man. But what I really liked about this film is that it is a complete portrait of him as a person. Like, besides looking at his work life, it also is a very unflinching look at his family life and in regards to his wife, his relationship with his wife, and as well as his three kids. The film is very candid in that department. And to me, that when it came to the personal aspects of his life, that's to me where the film kind of shined the brightest, because that stuff I just found the most compelling. And just to see and how as his fame got bigger and him sort of getting, you know, battling drugs and all that, I just found really compelling. But at the same time, though, it wasn't a film where at times where he realizes that there were times where he neglected his family and the sorrow that he felt because of that. Like, he is a man who deeply loves his family. He loves his wife, his kids. But the fact that he has done so much to hurt them in the past, you can definitely see that in the film, and you really sort of feel a lot of sympathy for him as a person. But I guess the only negative aspect I can think of the film, at least for me anyway, is that when it came to the actual kind of the art side, which I think is really well done in the documentary as well, but when it came to the actual sort of like his battles against the Brisbane City Council over his artwork being classified as graffiti by them, I felt, even though that is a big part, and I thought that was going to be a major part of the documentary, it was only a very small aspect, and I kind of felt disappointed that the film didn't dive into that a little bit more, because for the last couple of years, we've always had this debate whether graffiti is art. I personally believe graffiti is art. I mean, living here in Melbourne, I see a lot of graffiti art all over the place, and a lot of it is absolutely amazing, and just as great as anything in any museum or gallery. And I kind of wish that the film kind of explored that aspect further, and I felt a little bit unsatisfied that it didn't. But at the same time, though, it did make up for it to explore Anthony's personal life, which I feel like is the strongest stuff in the film. And I don't think this film is as great as All This Mayhem, but director Eddie Martin did such a really good job with this film nonetheless. I think it's a really good documentary, especially I do love art, and especially it gave me a bit of an insight to this one artist who I've never really, actually surprisingly never heard of, and I kind of feel bad that I didn't, because, I mean, Anthony Lister is a great artist, and I think the film as sort of a portrait on him, I think is pretty good, especially when it comes to his personal life, as I said before. But when it comes to sort of the battles that he had with the government over his artwork, I think that's where the kind of the film felt, at least for me anyway, rather weak, because I would have loved to have seen more from that in the film. And it just made the film a bit short, because it's only like a near 90-minute film. And I kind of wish that the documentary just sort of explored that aspect a lot more in a more satisfying way for me. But overall, it's a really solid documentary, a really engaging one. And if you're a fan of Anthony Lister, I definitely say it's worth checking out, for sure. So if I had to give the film a rating, I give it a solid 3.5 out of 5. Yep, so that's it. That's the end of this 9th edition of my my 2017 MIFF audio reviews. I hope you guys all enjoyed it. And keep a lookout very soon for my 10th edition, in which I will be reviewing the Syrian refugee-themed superhero film Jupiter's Moon, and as well as the Cape and the Cate Blanchett performance art piece Manifesto. So keep a lookout for that, and I'll see you guys all then. See you, everyone. Bye.